tried to give it the B hack and throw it opposite ways. I think that's part of it.
It's an optics thing.
I think so. And I think one thing that cannot be dismissed, nor should it, for any baseball player who gets drafted where Bryant was and comes up with the pedigree that he did, that matters. And regardless, you get to that point as a minor league darling. And it'll happen for Wander Franco, and it'll happen for, you know, whomever else is going to be the number one prospect or whatever. There's going to be a segment of fans that will never believe that what you've done is enough because you with that guy coming up.
But how is he
I think it's wrong.
How is he not delivering?
That's what I'm saying. I think that's wrong, but there is a segment of fans who will never believe. Lawrence, we're still having a discussion in baseball circles about whether or not Mike Trout is really that good.
Who's having that discussion?
No.
I'm not interested in that discussion.
Neither am I. And yet, I get on Twitter and look around to deep baseball Twitter, and it's like, gee, we're doing this. People do this. Educated baseball fans who just have
why aren't they in the playoffs?
And brought it to Twitter just so they can grind it. This exists.
But see, that I do think that that's part of Bryant's issue, is he's not Mike Trout. Which is to say, he's not the greatest baseball player who's ever lived.
There were like 400 other guys who weren't Barry Bonds for the better part of a decade.
Right, and
they were still decent players.
I think Bryant's a great player, and I think the numbers back that up.
Isn't he, as far as his first five seasons, greater than any Cub in history?
Yes.
Pretty sure.
Right.
He's a 25 WAR player.
I forget if his WAR numbers are ahead of any Cub in history to start out, but I know the homer rate and all that kind of all that good stuff.
He's to this point, he's one of the best ever in the history of your franchise.
He has a Rookie of the Year, where he finished in the top 10 for MVP, then won the MVP. Then the season after that, finished 7th in MVP voting, even though he had a better season the next year. I am completely perplexed by people's reaction to him, because on the surface, it would seem as if he is everything that people would want. He's nice. He's good at his job. He's a professional.
Plays multiple positions.
And whenever Joe asked him to, there was never any problem with Chris Bryant saying, no, I demand to play third base. Mm-hmm. You need me in left field? Cool. You need me in right field? Cool. You need me to play first base? Okay. You need me to play center field? All right. Whatever you need.
Okay, so there's one more piece here that we missed. I'd forgotten about this one, and I'm so glad that it got brought up by the texter from the 708 as I was just scrolling through. It says, stats are meaningless. Are you a superstar difference maker? I would tell you that everything
that
Lawrence just listed.
Stats are meaningless.
First of all, it's nonsense. First of all, it is a nonsense text.
What? Right.
But is what some people hold dear in their hearts. I would tell you that everything Lawrence just said is how you become a superstar difference maker, measured along with the fact that you won 90 plus. You, Chris Bryant, was a cornerstone during the golden age of Cubs baseball. He made a difference. He has made, like, the difference he made is tangible.
Look at Chris Bryant's. Here's another thing, another factor that you wouldn't, again,
that's
on the surface
text.
Even. It's really,
so bad.
It's really
it's believed,
the worst.
It is believed by people.
Chris Bryant's base running is valuable.
Elite.
It is.
Yes!
Yep.
Dan, this is what I don't get. Are people just not watching? Like Javi is the sizzle and steak. But Chris Bryant's a steak, man. A good one. Steak dinner. Boom.
If you're going to pick, the defense at third could be a little better. I don't think he's a great thrower of the baseball.
Sure.
But he's 6'5". And the list of guys that are that size from the infield that throw really well, it's not long.
Yeah.
So that's my one issue with them. And if the worst thing you say about him is, wow, he's going to have to move to a corner in the outfield at some point.
For those 30 home runs that he hits.
Okay.
And those 35 to 40 doubles that he hits every year.
Do that. It's unbelievable to me. I truly don't understand it.
All right, great. As long as you guys also don't understand it, I don't feel like I'm just on an island.
I don't. I don't.
I understand it, but when people are saying if there's a guy to trade, you know, move Wilson Contreras or move Kyle Schwarber, when you can understand that there might be limitations or there might be issues or there might be something where you could say, look, we could do better in this area, having somebody who's a little better at this and making a compromise there. I don't get it with Bryant. I think part of it might just be how blithely he reacts to his strikeouts, perhaps. I mean, maybe he's because he's not a sort of hard on the sleeve kind of player.
Again, you're giving me an optic.
Right.
Connor gave me an optic,
I'm guessing. I'm really guessing. I mean, the way fans respond when, because I think my first answer is going to stand. It's just going to be how people get so angry when it's the game that they're attending or the game that they happen to see, and there's runners on first and third, and he strikes out. And it's like, oh, that again, he sucks. Because they're remembering that harder than they remember the good things or appreciate the good stuff.
The rookie of the year, the World Series, the MVP.
Yeah, there's also
minor league player of the year.
Hold on, Connor.
Yeah, right.
You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
There's also a narrative that's involved here that the clutch doesn't exist for him.
Yeah, but and, that's been debunked.
Right. Well, but has it? Because the narrative existed for the better part of 3 days. And that's enough for it to bury itself into the soul of a human being who wanted to find just a little bit of reason to not like the guy in the first place. So I can read for you the numbers that he's got in the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings over his career.
Do it.
I can read for you the fact, I can read for you the fact that the clutch numbers for him have actually somewhat improved over the last handful. And you can pick through some of the things about, he has struck out more with runners in scoring position over the last couple. He's also, when he has hit 4 more doubles when there are runners in scoring position, which is more valuable than just the single because it brings the guy. I could do all of those things for you, but people don't listen to that.
Oh.
Having that conversation, I think in a spoken word medium is difficult to have.
I need to get a tambourine? And
I guess.
And do an interpretive dance.
Because I can't read for you 5 numbers in a row before your eyes glaze over or
don't
whatever.
Don't give me the stats.
But he sucks in the clutch. Here are the stats. I said don't. It's like, what the hell are we doing?
I don't understand it.
I don't get it either. I truly don't.
He's a great player.
I truly don't.
And I don't know why people don't recognize he's a great player.
I think most do.
I was shocked by some of the reaction, including he's always injured, except for the fact that outside of 2018, he's averaged playing 150 games a year.
Yep.
Like even last year, in a year where you may have called him injured,
right,
he played 147.
Oh, yeah, and read for me the run that he was on up to getting injured in 18.
Yeah.
Like career highs?
Yes.
On a slash line?
And then people, he got hit in the head and he was never right.
Nope.
Even though that's not true either.
Slugged 650 in the 2 weeks afterward, but whatever.
Okay. All right. It's fine. Totally fine.
Are you glad we sorted this out?
Yeah, have fun.
I'm sorry that we did this.
You're already exasperated.
At the same time, this is a kind of hot button for me.
It just, like someone today was like, well, RBIs. And I was like, really?
Well, then I mean, as soon as somebody brings up RBI, you know that that's the discussion's over with that person.
Then I explained to them
that guy
how.
That Albert Almora in the leadoff spot, too, I bet.
I explained to them how Jose Abreu had almost 50 more RBIs than Chris Bryant last year. They had the same batting average. Yet, Bryant had a much higher OPS. What does that say to you?
Maybe somebody had more opportunities.
I don't know.
Maybe, what does that say?
Maybe the situation outside of his control was beneficial to him.
Okay. All right. Well, then the podcast is out there on LoHo Daily. I don't know if I'm going to talk about it more on the show today, but you can listen to the podcast that I tried to make the case with actual statistics that matter in baseball. That is Dan Bernstein and Connor McNair. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm looking forward to eating something again at some point later next week.
Okay,
yeah.
Sounds good. I'm imagining quinoa. You can listen to them from 9 a.m. until noon every day here on The Score. The top of the hour is being brought to you by Let's see today. Chicago Wolves. Yeah, baby. During all November home games, the Chicago Wolves are collecting canned food and other non-perishable items for Chicago's Common Food Pantry and other local pantries. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. And this hour is being brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. More horses, more races, and more action. Tony, let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, now, won't you please make noise for Clippers forward Kawhi Leonard.
Hey, hey, hey. Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Who liked Deshaun Watson in the Bears front office?
John Fox.
And Dave Ragone, the quarterback coach. Now, he's still here. John Fox is gone. Is it possible that they completely ignored what the coach wanted because they clearly wanted the coach to fail the next year so they'd have all the ammunition that they wanted to move along from John Fox? Because I could make an argument that a Deshaun Watson-led team in 2017 wins more games and looks more promising than the Mike Glennon-Mitchell Trubisky combination. If you want to go full conspiracy on this, that once John Fox says, I like Deshaun Watson, in Ryan Pace's mind, he's like, la, 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 and is not going to sit down with Deshaun Watson.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Welcome in. I am Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock today. We're guest-free today, which I actually I like every now and again that we do this because there's a lot of like little things that I want to get to on today's show. Like I want to talk about exhausting things. Not things that are exhausting, but actually exhausting types of ways to improve at the quarterback. I'll get to that in a minute, but we start the show as we start all things with a rundown.
You started on that rundown yet?
Oh, this is just something I'm taking a break with.
Oh.
But I will get back to the rundown right now.
The rundown.
So last night I was doing some stuff. This is your rundown for Thursday, November 14th. And I got home and I was like, oh, West Coast hockey. Kinda. I mean,
let's do that hockey.
That's what I was thinking as I was sitting there. And I was happy that I did do that hockey because the second period of the Blackhawks game was absolutely bananas. And the Bananas got off to this start with a goal that the Las Vegas Golden Knights thought they had, but didn't have.
King, broken up, barrels up with Tuck, who has it. His shot goes in! Alex Tuck with a goal! The back bar, not the crossbar. 3-1. Calvin DeHaan turns it over off to the races, goes Alex Tuck, and he rifles that short side. I think they're going to have to look at this, Eddie and John. Let's see what happens from this look. Off the crossbar, off the bar. I don't think that'll count as a goal.
It didn't count as a goal. And then the Blackhawks came back down and scored two of their own. And they ended up winning out west against the Knights 5-3.
Again, DeHaan gets to it. 7 seconds left. Moved along for Riley Smith. That's Chiaretti. Tipped. Just wide. That's all. The Chicago Blackhawks with a big win here in Las Vegas. First win all time against the Vegas franchise. What a job tonight for Corey Crawford. Final count 5-3.
39 saves for Corey Crawford in the game. Patrick Kane has more points than anybody in the month of November. The Bulls are going to take on Milwaukee tonight in Milwaukee. That's going to be a thing. Here's what Jim Boylan said about his team and their problems shooting the basketball.
I don't go after these guys when they don't shoot well, and I don't go up to them when they do shoot well. You know, it's we know we can shoot the ball better as a whole. I thought last night we were 14 for 33. Is that what it was? 42%, I think. You know, that's where we hope to be, somewhere in there.
If he doesn't talk to them when they shoot well or when they shoot poorly, when does he talk to them? I don't know, Tone. I'm not sure. On to the baseball. And
yeah, brother.
Tone, the GM meetings are going on out west, and Rick Hahn said this about the White Sox search for pitching.
With all these moves, free agent moves, specifically with pitching, it's going to come down to pricing and what's accessible and what's the price and what we're willing, what level of risk we're willing to bear. You're right that there's a heightened level of risk with free agent starting pitching signings. It's just the nature of the category. But as I alluded to yesterday, anything I say right now about we're willing to do X or you'll see us do this is meaningless until we actually do it. So if we actually go out and convert on a free agent pitching target, we'll talk about how we wound up at the term and why.
There is some news on the Chris Bryant grievance front. And I think this is part of the reason that there are people that are like, I don't like him because he's got Scott Boras as a client. Tony, drop the music just real quick. Let me tell you something. If you were that guy, you would have Scott Boras as your agent too. And I think that it's interesting that even though this guy has already given you as a team so much that you're willing to side with the team against him. It's interesting, but not surprising. Here's what Scott Boras said about Bryant's grievance.
The predictability and well said, you might put a asterisk 1-2. I don't know, but you, I again, we're talking about, you know, Mookie has a year to go, and everybody's talking about Mookie going somewhere, and the guy's a franchise player. Yeah. And you're going, okay, you know, what are we going to do with this decision making? And a lot of this has to do with the fact that the clubs have really leveraged the first 4 or so years of that player at minimal values, and they've taken great advantage of it. In these instances, a Mookie or a KB or whatever, they won world championships with it. And they have to make a determination of a different aspect of that player's career and how they view them. And I don't... You know, it's a, again, I've seen clubs take this decision on, and it's often been a decision that they regret, whether they've kept him or whether they've traded him. And so it's, again, because they're great players, they're really key decisions, and that's really all you can say about it.
Theo says that everything's cool with him and KB.
That's great. I mean, we spend some time talking at the on the break during the grievance and afterwards, and you know, I think the relationship we have personally is great, and between him and the organization just as great. So no, he's certainly a Cub in good standing, and we think really highly of him, and we like working together to try to get the most out of him and the team, and there's zero issue there whatsoever.
Zero issue. I don't know if I say zero issue, but I don't think that there's any, I don't think that it's cantankerous. I don't think Chris Bryant hears that Theo's coming to the clubhouse and runs the other way or is beelining towards him like, we got to get a deal done. I don't think that that's what's going on. It's negotiation. You try to get as much money as you can. On to the Bears. Matt Nagy says he doesn't know about putting Danny Trevathan and his arm that went the wrong direction on IR.
We haven't gotten to that yet. We're still working through it. So we'll kind of know more here as we go, but we don't know anything yet.
Yes, Tony?
Really? you don't know anything yet?
Look, maybe he, it's one of those things where it's a hyperextension.
Fam, I know what I saw.
We all know what we saw. I'm just saying that sometimes things can be better than they look. They've had a couple of bad elbow injuries this year.
Rick Camp, you saw it.
It wasn't great.
No, it was not great. As they're standing there with Danny on the sideline, you're like, oh, y'all should probably just get Danny to the back because he's not going back in today's game no matter what.
I still can't believe they say he was questionable to return.
Yeah. And what, Tony, explain for the people what happened when over the speaker, the public address announcer said that he was questionable. What happened on press row?
Everybody began laughing, not at the injury, but just the fact that he might return.
Right, that he was questionable for the game. This is what Matt Nagy had to say about wrong routes by wide receivers.
It can affect it. I mean, I know, put it this way. If I was playing quarterback and that happened, I can just speak for me, my trust would be affected a little bit. But then it gets earned back when they come back the next play to make a play for you. It's a part of the game. Sometimes that happens, and then they're able to, you know, you saw what Mitch did on some of those was he used his legs to take like a -3 yard gain to a +3 yard gain. That's a 6 yard net that now you're in 2nd and 7 instead of 2nd and 13.
Can I just say that I'm sure that the Bears players are probably fine with it considering where they're at in their careers. But Matt Nagy loves to